The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Okay, I know, we played it already at the start of the season, but Toronto are in the British Rugby League game now.
You love that fanfare.
I do like it.
You do, you keep using it and repeating it. We're going to be like Dave soon, aren't we?
Yeah, also as well, I suppose you could have played that on Friday. Was it on? Was it off? Was it on? Was it off? Who knows?
Who knew? Who knew?
Who cares? Who knew? They were in the Challenge Cup and they got a scare against Siddle. Well done to Siddle. For very nearly causing a cup upset, but the on-off situation, Widnes and Wigan, what on earth was going on there?
What was going on? I just wonder whether Wigan actually fancied playing it, to be honest, in the first place.
You think they're on the Owl Shandies in the week to celebrate the World Cup
Well,
Challenge?
That wouldn't be for us to say, would it, really, to be honest?
And then they thought, oh no, we've got a game on Friday.
It was either that, or they were that worried about Lee coming to their place and this weekend that they thought they wanted 2 weeks' preparation. I'm not too sure about that one, though.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
It is the final hooter on Radio General and loverugby.com. And then what a weekend of action.
Great weekend. Challenge Cup, loads of ties, loads of interesting tries as well.
Yes.
The Championship's up in full swing. Super League's all in full swing now as well.
And League One is about to enter the action as well. But just before we talk, we're going to talk about the Challenge Cup in more in depth later in this podcast. But yeah, West Hull, hard lines.
Very hard lines, yeah.
As well.
Yeah, 78th minute try, I think it was, from Whitehaven, which saw West Hull exit the Challenge Cup. And Siddle giving Toronto a real fright for the lives. But interesting story there that someone from North America scored Toronto's first competitive try. So that's good news, isn't it?
There's a quiz question for you in a couple of years' time.
Yeah, Ryan Burrows. Just make a note of that one, folks, because you never know when that might crop up on in some pub quiz.
Everyone's talking about Toronto being the team to look out for in League One. But James Carr, well, he actually reckons there's other clubs to be thinking about, you know.
There's a lot of good teams. We've got Keighley sat on this table, you know, Whitehaven and Workington, who's got relegated from the Championship last year, both on it well. Bounce back, and Barrow have been building for a few years and improving. Doncaster, so there's a lot of teams. You know, I don't think there's going to be many weeks where we're not challenged, you know, to the last minute. Because our main focus is obviously going to be the league competition, and our main focus really this year is teaching these lads how to play the game that we want to play it, and finish as high up as we possibly can. Main focus will be on our performance, and results then should take care of themselves.
That was James Coyle.
It was.
Talking about the other teams that are involved in League One this season.
Yeah.
And I suppose talking about his coaching philosophy. This time last year, of course, he was over at Whitehaven, wasn't he?
He was.
So, yeah, nice to see that he's still knocking around, and he reckons that there's plenty of other people who need to be being talked about at League One level.
Fascinating club hunts, look for me, because... All right, they're in Leeds, so always been within the shadows of Leeds Rhinos, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. But they used to be one of the big guns way back in the day when Ray French was playing his rugby. I wonder if Huntsville will ever get back to those glory years of the 50s and 60s.
Well, I think that they've got a really young squad at the moment, so I'm sure that James Coyle isn't thinking about that. I think he's just thinking in blocks of two or three games at a time. But you never know. There's always a chance of a glory period returning. They had one at the turn of the century, didn't they, actually, where they were ossing with the top clubs in the Championship.
Aye, when I was a lad.
Were really, really good. Yeah. I remember him beating Whitney. This one playoff, but yeah, you're not going to answer me on that one.
No. Just because you mentioned James Cole and his time at Whitehaven, let's keep it in Cymru. Let's hear from the man himself at Barrow.
Good. I think the mood's improved a little bit. There's expectation on us this year, which is good. It shows we've progressed. We've got a great bunch of players. Had a good pre-season. You know, had some good results in pre-season games, and all in all, real good. We recruited real early, which is what we wanted to do. We brought in some real good players in Tom Walker and Declan Hume, Lewis Charnock, Jared Stack, to name a few, and Brett Carter. So we brought in five new ones. We've lost some players to play at higher level. You know, they come to us from league reserves, but they've gone to the Championship, so it's proved we've done a good job there as well. So all in all, the club's, you know, on the up, academy going, Elite 16's programme now as well. So, you know, and good sponsors throughout the club as well. So, you know, a good place to be at the moment.
Mentioned the expectation. Can the guys within the squad deal with that expectation?
Yeah, some of them have been there and done it. You know, I've got some players that have played. Martin Aspinwall's played Grand Final, played Challenge Cup Final. So, you know, Oliver Wilkes as well. You know, good level head on him, and they've been there. So, you know, we've got them players to lead the junior players. We've got some good players coming in Gerard Stack, who's seasoned professional. You know, we're working Player of the Year 5 or 6 years running. You know, so we've brought some quality in there. All the players we've brought in have got great attitudes. We've got good attitudes across the board, and we've great. We've got some good senior leaders that lead the young players. Can we deal with the pressure yet? Yeah, because there's no pressure from inside. The pressure's from everybody else. With the teams that are in this division now, it's probably a tough place to be, you know, and the Championship, you know, probably there's a few teams in there that might struggle a little bit, but in our division, everyone's growing and getting stronger, and it's a good development league as well, where you can develop young kids, so we'll be doing that as well.
Other talks all about Toronto coming into the league, but I suppose from a Barrow point of view, you'd be more looking forward to taking on Workington and Whitehaven, won't you?
Yeah, we're looking forward. We've already played Whitehaven in a friendly, but that won't be, you know, that result won't be anything like what it'll be in the league. You know, we're not reading anything to that. Yeah, good local derbies, big crowds when we play each other, and a little bit of banter between the crowd. Great Cumbrian people as well who support all the sides, not just their own club. They look out for results of other clubs, so we're looking forward to that. Yeah, all the hype's on Toronto, you know, maybe it should be because they've got some great personnel, great coaching team as well, you know, capable of coaching at the highest level there is in this country, I believe, and they've got some personnel there and some great financial backers. They've marketed the club really well, which everybody can take a leaf out of their book, the way they market their own club and presented themselves, so all credit to them for that, you know, but we want to be in the mix up there with them, you know, and get to the Super 8s. And like last year in the Super 8s, it was a fantastic concept because all the games were real tight. The crowds grew. I think nearly 1,200 people in watched us play Doncaster in the semi-final, which was fantastic, really, for our club. So we want to be up there among the 8s at the end of the season and fighting for maybe one. I think there might be just one spot available. So we want to be up there trying to fight for that spot.
You mentioned the passion of the fans in Cumbria for rugby. Is it a bit disappointing from a rugby league point of view to see all three clubs in the basically the third tier of rugby league?
Yeah, it probably is. But when you look at the third tier, it's not like it used to be because there was a time there when 5 got relegated instead of 2. So that's when it all changed. And now you've got Newcastle who are investing heavily in their team with a great backer and a man who knows where he wants to be, and they've bought wisely. And sometimes you've got to go and enjoy the sport and you get some great games in Championship 1. You know, we played Oldham in a friendly and drew with them. They're playing Championship rugby, you know, and nobody will come and take us lightly, whoever we play, whether it's a Championship team or Championship 1 team. So, you know, you can be disappointed, but that's where you're at. To get out of this division, it's very difficult because of where we are in terms of people travelling to us and the money we have to pay over and above to get players in. So we've got to market the club off the field, build our own youth structures is what we've set out to do 2 years ago, put academy in place. We've got a signing from the academy, Ryan Johnson, who's the first one, and we've got an elite 16s in place, and we've got a programme from 12s to 16s to back that up, all done in a 2 year period. So that's where we're at. We're building the club from the foundations, and all of a sudden it'll burst out from its foundations, but I might not get the benefit from that, but the club will eventually reap the rewards for what's been put in the background.
Fingers crossed that might happen.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see Barrow really coming back, wouldn't it? I mean, they did have their stint 5 or 6 years ago under Des Johnston, didn't they? And that was a colourful period in Barrow's history, wasn't it? Where they bought quite a bit of success, brought a few players in. But it'd be nice to do it in a more organic way. And that's certainly something that Paul Crary, every time that you hear him speaking or everything that you read about Barrow, he's always talking about the youth structure. He's always talking about how everything is, isn't he? So, you know, he's I think that they've got a good chance this season of really challenging again. They've already played 2 games. They've played the League One Cup, where they took on a Rochdale Mayfield away and won by 46-18. They beat Rochdale Mayfield at home last weekend by 60-6.
Yeah, I'm disappointed to see all three Cumbrian teams in that third tier of rugby, by the way. You're always getting told it's a rugby league hotspot.
I think it's good for the Cumbrian clubs to them all be in one division, though, because it cuts down on the travelling, doesn't it, to be fair?
Yeah.
But I know what you mean. And obviously, yes, it is a rugby league hotspot.
Yes.
It just doesn't really constitute to it at this moment at professional level. But amateur level, it's thriving, isn't it? You know, it's a strong Cumbrian league. They had a strong go at the Amateur Bala Championship last year.
I'd say another place that's got a strong amateur setup as well.
Go on.
And it's a city. And we like cities in rugby league.
Go on.
York.
Yes, yes. Well, I have to admit, I've said this before. If I win £1 million on the lottery, I'm investing it at York.
I'd do the same as well. Let's say the thoughts of young halfback Harry Tyson Wilson.
Tell me a little bit about your close season, because it's been a bit up and down, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, obviously we had a bit of trouble in the off season, but we've been sorted out with some like new owners, good owners, and we've got a good ideas for the future, and the squad's sorted now, so just looking forward to like what the future brings.
How was pre-season from a playing point of view?
It's been tough as every pre-season has been, but we pretty much had our squad like sorted within the first week of pre-season, so it's been good. We've progressed a lot as we probably would expect, especially in between the Feversham friendly and the London friendly. I think we improved considerably.
And was that a key point, playing like the higher opposition?
Yeah, it's just to see where you're at, I think. It's obviously game time and getting fit and stuff, but it's also to see where you're at compared to, you know, for me, people playing against people like Jared Sammet and people like that. You know, it's like a what do we call it? You can measure yourself against them, yeah.
And as well, do you find that you can learn from those type of players as well, with certain little things they do within games?
Yeah, you can learn from anyone you play with, you know. Play with, play against, you know, watching them, or just seeing how they take the ball to the line, how they kick it, what the decision making is like. So you can learn all the time from anyone. Still a lot of development in me, but this year I just want to, you know, play consistently, show people what I can do, get myself out there a bit.
So from a club point of view, what are York hoping for this year?
Okay, I'll see you later on.
We haven't set no targets as a team, but because we've got like a young squad, a new squad, I think we're just going to take it, you know, in blocks, maybe four games at a time. You know, see where we're at after every four games. We're not putting no pressure on ourselves. We're just going to go out, enjoy it, and do our best.
Do our best, but they came unstuck in the League One Cup.
Yes, they lost in extra time, didn't they? Against North Wales Crusaders.
Yeah.
82nd minute drop goal there from Jack Hansen.
Heartbreak.
Yeah. That fella that you mentioned, though, Harry Tyson Wilson, kicked two goals in that one. Was on target last weekend with four goals as well. That was as York City Knights defeated Egremont by 48-8.
Okay, let's hear from a guy who's been a player. He's been an assistant coach. He learned off the best to the point where he's decided, you know what, I want to be my own boss. So he chose Keighley to start off his fledgling career as a head coach. Let's hear from Craig Lingard.
Joined by Craig Lingard, new coach at Keighley Cougars. How's your pre-season gone?
It's gone really well, probably better than what I expected, to be fair, with such a turnover of players coming into the club this year. We've had a bit of an overhaul of players. And I think, judging on his pre-season, not results but performances, I think they're sort of buying into what we sort of wanted to play.
It's quite an exciting mix of players that you brought in, isn't it? Guys that have experience and young players as well.
Yeah, it was certainly a deliberate play that we had really for his recruitment. We wanted to bring a lot of young people in that still want to achieve something in their game. Maybe guys that have been released from Super League clubs, guys that have played at a higher level in Championship even at a younger age, but we want to keep that experience as well, and we want to keep that culture at Keighley, players like James Feather and Brendan Rawlings that have been at the club for quite a while. You know, so we thought it was important to keep some experience there, but also bring some youth in there to get the enthusiasm and levels back up.
So what are you looking for from your side for the forthcoming season?
Well, we've sort of building a 24 to 36 month plan, really. You know, so we're not looking at immediate success. We're looking at building a culture and building an environment there where people can come and learn, they can come and achieve and come and succeed. You know, so this first 12 months, it's a rebuilding phase. We're certainly not writing off this year in the league, and with the players that we've got in there, we're looking at cementing a place in the players coming into the season.
And you've got quite a challenge this season. There's new teams coming into the division. I'm thinking Toronto, who are on a budget that is far in excess of probably every other team that's in the division.
It is, yeah, but it's a challenge you've got to embrace. We can't change it. There's nothing we can do about it, you know. So we've got two choices. We either roll over and die, or we stand up and fight, you know. So we'll certainly stand up and fight. And it is going to be a challenge with the budget that they've got and the playing roster that they've got and the facilities that they've got, you know. But as I said, we can't change that, and we've just got to get on with it and do the most that we can.
Am I right in thinking this is your first head coaching role?
It is, yeah. I've been assistant coach John Kidd at Batley since 2012, but this is my first step up into an head coach's job, yeah.
So how are you finding it so far?
Good, I'm really enjoying it. You know, I'm probably still in that honeymoon phase where everything's exciting, everything's new.
He's got two wins under his belt already, though.
Going, I mean, okay.
They beat Doncaster at League One Cup a couple of weeks ago, Andy Gabriel scoring a couple of tries, and then they had a stormy affair, to be honest, against Fryston. All kinds of things happening in this particular game. We heard rumours of possible crowd disruption, didn't we?
Fights in the bar after the game.
There was fights as well on the field. It ended up with two players getting sent off, two players sin-binned, and a broken jaw, unfortunately, for the young centre, Whittle, who is one of the new signings, to be honest, that was brought in there at Keighley. But the good news is that the two from two, and Sean Kelly as well, impressed in that particular cup tie. But Matty Baharil, who they signed from Swinton, very surprised that he got released. He's assumed goal-kicking duties, and he seems to be amongst the points as well.
Just thinking about Craig Lingard, Keighley coach. I sat there thinking of former Keighley coaches, and I saw one during the World Club Challenge with Brisbane and Warrington with Jason Dimitriou.
JD. Yeah. He's doing a fantastic job since he's gone back down under, hasn't he? I reckon it won't be long till we see him get a head coach's job in the NRL, to be honest.
I thought you were going to say back at Keighley then.
Well, you never know. He might be tempted. I mean, he went there originally as player coach, didn't he?
He did a great
job as a player over here, by the way, for Widnes and Rochdale.
But my point is, maybe Craig Lingard could be another success, and he could fall in the footsteps of Jason Dimitriou. Who knows? Keighley is where it all starts, man.
I'm sure that every young coach that's in the game, though, has ambitions of going to the very top of his profession. And, you know, you mentioned there Craig Lingard. He's worked with some top fellas, hasn't he, over the last few years over there at
Batley. Thought Barry Eaton went okay with them as well.
Yeah, he did. And he's now an assistant coach at Leeds, isn't he? Yeah. You know, so it just shows that, you know, as well as players having a chance to use a spell in the championship as a stepping stone, so too do coaches.
Let's step into Wales. Good to see North Wales Crusaders still hanging in there, and Mike Grady's the man who's trying to relaunch him onto the road to success.
It's gone well, everyone's integrated well, and we've got a big squad at the moment. I think we've got roughly around 27-28 players, so there's competition there for places. All the lads are getting on. A lot of lads know each other because they're all local and they've played with each other before, but the guys that were already here, that was a priority to retain them, and we've just added a few from outside as well. So everything so far so good.
And for yourself, you know, your last coaching job was up at Newcastle. You've done South Wales. I wouldn't like to get a second-hand car off you.
Nice there. Yeah, it was. I had some good times at both clubs. Newcastle was only brief, but it was a fantastic club, and South Wales is where I started, so I've always got a soft spot for South Wales. Yeah, I enjoyed my time there, and I'm looking forward to North Wales and going forward with them.
Do you feel that your experiences that you've had at both of those clubs set you up well for this particular job?
Yeah, definitely, especially at South Wales. It was well documented, the struggles that the club had and where we were at and the stuff we had to do. So, yeah, it just brings you down, doesn't it? I was at the bottom. I had to do everything myself, my assistant. We had to do everything off the field, on the field. So it just puts you in good stead, doesn't it? So, yeah, the experience at South Wales definitely helped me now going forward.
Tell us about the signings that you brought in this season for North Wales.
Right, I'll probably end up missing someone out, so if I haven't forgotten, we've brought two quick wingers in, Dale Bloomfield and Corey Lee from Rochdale Hornets. I'm hoping they'll get a bag full of tries, but we'll find out during the season, won't we? James Dandy's come in from Rochdale, and also John Cookson. So we've got four players there that have been with a fantastic team, a good setup under Alan Killshaw. So I'm hoping their professionalism will rub onto our lads, and hopefully they'll add something. Brought Danny Price in, Andy Unsworth from Coventry. Again, they're local lads, but they've had experience in League One, so that they've fitted in well. And also on the coaching side, I've come in with Johnny Leather, who's just retired. Well, I say just retired, he might have to put his boots on come the transfer deadline, but he's been a great addition as well, because he knows a lot of players, he knows the game well. So all in all, I'm happy with what I've added player wise and on the staff wise, so I'm ready to go and see how it goes.
I think particularly in Johnny's case, he's been around that competition for so long, hasn't he?
Well, I can't believe his age. He tells me he's 27, but as you say, he's been around a long time, so he's brought a lot of experience in and he knows players, which helps when you're trying to build a squad pre-season. He's got a relationship with a lot of lads, so he's been great there. And as he's played recently up to last season, so he's up to date with all the coaching methods, what people are using, and he's been a great help for me. So it was a good addition to bring him in.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Mike Grady, obviously hopeful that he can return the Crusaders back to being a successful club.
Yeah.
And a team on the pitch.
It's a big job that he's got on there, isn't
it? Massive job.
I mean, I know, having chatted to Anthony Murray, the previous coach there, at some length, that over the last 3 years, he had to put together three different teams.
it's not hard, is it?
It's not ideal, is it? You know,
it is hard. I mean,
and it's a very, very tough ask. But you know, he's making a good fist of it so far. Okay, they knocked York City Knights out of the League One Cup. They went down to the Gloucestershire All Golds though in the Challenge Cup. So it just shows that, you know, there's quite a big job still to do.
You mentioned the miles Mike Grady's done as a coach. Well, Lee Greenwood, the coach of the Gloucestershire All Golds, is doing a few miles as well as he travels down to be the head coach. And for me, that is one of the hardest jobs in rugby league.
Yeah, very much so. You're going to hear from him in just a few seconds.
Lee Greenwood, how's life in the world of rugby league in Gloucester?
Oh, it's going really well. We've made some changes behind the scenes for this coming season and beyond. We've made some decisions behind the scenes that hopefully will stand us in good stead going forward. Obviously, we want that to translate to results on the field this year, but that's not sort of the main goal for us. It's just building for the future to make sure we've got a sustained squad, all based within the area. Now, we're not quite there yet. There are a couple of carfuls still travelling from different parts of the country to get to us, but I think maybe by this time next year we won't be far off a full squad based in Gloucester, which would be a massive, massive success for the club to do that within a short space of time. And I'm sure every single coach will say how hard the job is. I think it's because of the way we're doing it that makes it look more difficult, but we're not going to stray away from it. We did some things last year to try and probably get some short term results, and they didn't quite work out, and it made my job probably more difficult than what it should have done. So we are doing things different, bringing it a lot more local and working closer with the university and trying to bring guys in on study and degrees. Which, you know, we have got some lads doing that, and if we can recruit well again via the university, then I think, you know, by next year or certainly the year after, we could have a full squad that have either come through the university or at the university. So it is tough, because you look at what some of the teams are doing in our division. Obviously, the northern clubs all wanting to challenge to get promotion. I've got players on the doorstep, either released by clubs from the higher divisions or from the other side of it, young lads or amateur players, all on the doorstep, and they can go straight to them and find them. There's a conveyor belt there for them, and we haven't got that. Once it's past September and the door closes on the university intake, and that's what we've got. So yeah, certainly recruitment is difficult. Like I say, there's probably one or two other clubs that might say they've got just as difficult a challenge, but when I look at them, they seem to have been going for a bit longer than us, or the way they're doing things has put them in a better position to recruit, shall we say.
In terms of the league, where do you see Gloucester fitting in?
Well, I mean, the season before last, I'm a never happy guy anyway, so I'm always looking to strive for more, but we finished as the best of the team 2 seasons ago. We tried to kick on from that last season, it didn't quite work out. If we can get ourselves to challenging for that title again. I think that'll be marked down as a massive, massive success again, because you look at what the southern clubs are doing. South Wales, Bigmore, you know, big investment, name change, you know, some really good things going behind the scenes there, and a good youth system coming through. You look at Oxford and Hemel, running a lot of the stuff up in Yorkshire now, so they tend to get a lot of Yorkshire-based players that can go directly to them and play for them on weekends. Coventry running things really, really well and really proper, and they look to be growing year on year. London Scholars had a really good season last year, and they can always pick up players that have played the game for a long time now in London. So the challenge gets tough, and that's why we are doing things how we're doing them this year. So we are looking at sort of promoting his own players from within, and then until you play them, you don't actually know how they can cope with it. There's only one way of finding out, and that's putting them in. Some will definitely be ready for it and be useful and prove to be good players at this level or above. Others won't, but again, we haven't got a good enough structure in the south below first team level to know. The guys up here have got dual edge reserve teams if they want them. They've got the amateur game that they can look at players, and there isn't that where we are. So
it's going to be difficult, isn't it? But they've started the season off well.
Yeah, it's the perils and pitfalls of being away from the heartlands, isn't it, really? Yeah. But you're quite right, you've highlighted they have started the season well. I think they've uncovered a new star as well, because in the first game of the season, the League One Cup, they beat Hemel by 48 points to 12, had two tries that day from Brad Kislingbury.
Brad King. Right, okay.
Yeah. And then he scored two more tries this past weekend.
Right.
As they went and beat North Wales Crusaders 36-18 in the Challenge Cup.
Bad Brad from Gloucestershire, like it.
So, yeah, so I'm really going to be looking to see how he goes over the course of the season, because he already looks like he's got an eye for the try line, doesn't he?
League One starts for real this weekend. It sees London Scholars, who, by the way, have reported that in pre-season sales, they're going to have a record crowd.
I think that's
Saturday.
That's great news.
The official arrival of Toronto Wolfpack.
I think the record crowd there is something like 1,200. Mm. So, you know, that's a really, really credible performance there from the off-field staff there at London Scholars, who've been selling tickets like the proverbial hotcakes.
Obviously, the interest in Toronto helping the situation there. Barrow versus York on the Saturday, then it moves to Sunday. Oxford versus Hemel Stags. Doncaster take on Coventry. Huntsford versus the University of Gloucestershire. Old Golds. Keithley Cougars versus North Wales.
That'll
South
be an interesting
Wales
one.
IMM versus Whitehaven. Workington versus Newcastle Thunder.
Yeah, no, we've not really talked, have we, you know, regarding South Wales. They've reinvented themselves again, haven't they?
Of South Wales.
Yeah, and then you've got the Cumbrian clubs, haven't you? You know, you've got Whitehaven, Workington, who actually met each other on the first weekend of the season proper.
Yeah, Mara.
And
is that the same in Cumbria?
There's going to be, you know, sparks flying, isn't there, between all those Cumbrian sides?
There's been some sparks flying around Dewsbury the way they've started the season.
It's not been good, has it, in the Championship?
No.
I'm joined by Glenn Morrison, Dewsbury Rams. It's been a real tough first month of the season for the Rams, hasn't it?
It's going to be a tough year, mate. I said that in the off-season. Said it for the last 12 months. It was going to be a tough year. There's another full-time team in the competition this year. Club spent a lot of money and putting good squad together. I think we've got a good squad together, but we just find it a bit tough at the moment, working hard to turn it around. But so with injuries aren't helping. I haven't had the same team on the pitch 2 weeks in a row. We're getting to the right end. I said the forwards are working hard for each other. The energy's there, but we're just not creating any opportunities. The boys there in them positions are not quite doing their job. You can't win games if you're not scoring points.
You can certainly see a lot of camaraderie around the place, which is really good from your point of view, and no doubt the pouring in the hard yards at the training field as well.
Yeah, that's all we can do. That's all we can do is work hard, try to turn it around, keep a tight-knit group, which I'm pleased we're still seeing that on the field. No one's having a playoff. Just makes it tough when, as I say, if we get to the right end and we don't create, you're not going to break teams down. And I thought today, if you had put Semmett in our team today, we win the game. He comes up smart halfback that comes up the right place at the right time, and we're not quite getting that at the moment.
I suppose that's what teams pay the big bucks for, don't they? And arguably, you've not got that budget to play with.
No, that's right. We've got Thacks sold 18 months ago, and unfortunately, we haven't got any money to to bring someone like that in. It's the way it is. You see, you're against teams Toulouse last week. You're on full time. These today probably running on £1 million more than us on budget. And I said, if you've got £1 million, I'm sure I could bring a top quality halfback in and could change it around with the basics we got there. We're not far off.
Tell you what, not many halfbacks about.
There isn't, no.
As business are finding out.
It's a massive issue, isn't it? Across the leagues, to be honest. Everybody's after a really good halfback. But Dewsbury seems to be really struggling at the moment
to be putting things together. They're missing Anthony Thackeray.
Yeah, but he's been gone 18 months. Exactly. And that's the issue, isn't it? They've nobody that's been able to replace him. So, yeah, going through the horrors a little bit at the moment, Dewsbury Rams on the field. They're doing a lot of good stuff in the middle, but it's just the halfbacks aren't seemingly able to create much for the outside backs, and that seems to be the major issue for them.
Let's step into Super League, shall we, and hear from Kieran Cunningham as he tries to work out where it all went wrong for his team against Lee.
It's just the start. The start was really disappointing, you know, after we had a couple of real good weeks of training, and, you know, the start was disappointing. We did a fair bit of talking in the lead-up to it, and a fair bit of talking in the dressing room, and there just wasn't enough actions. Some senior front rowers didn't really go that good, which is not good enough for this club, and they just came straight through us. But I don't want to take anything away from Lee. You know, Lee were great. Lee had the game plan. They came and they carried the ball really hard. It's quite a simple game we play, this rugby league. It's just a game of chicken on the advantage line, and unfortunately we was the chicken today. We created enough chances, if we was clinical enough, to win three games, but we wasn't clinical enough. You know, our centres mustn't believe that our wingers can score tries. But it still goes back to the start. If you start better, and even if you come in one try less, you know, you go on and win the game. But unfortunately we didn't. It's a very good learning curve for us. Like I said, we've got a lot to turn around for next Friday now.
Saints lost the game because they thought they were playing chicken.
Yeah, well, that seems to be the problem. I mean, he was quoted a little
bit.
It's a little bit later on. He's been quoted elsewhere as saying it's because they didn't have a video ref there. So,
all right, okay.
You know, it's he needs to make his mind up. He sounds like a man under pressure, doesn't he? I think that's the big issue there. He's been under pressure for a couple of seasons, to be fair, hasn't he? And he was right when he pointed to the front rowers. They didn't really do an awful lot in the first 25 minutes, and Lee just blasted straight through them. And by that stage, they were chasing the game. It was 18-0.
Yeah, Lee seems to be getting better as the games go on. Thrashing by Castleford in the first game. A close run affair with Leeds, and they finally get over the winning line against St Helens. Let's hear from our happy Neil Jukes.
Pleased for the lads. You know, worked really hard. So close last week. But came Saturday morning and had a brilliant week this week. And for the fans, you know, turning out, I think, over 9,000, somebody said. Incredible atmosphere. And we said we want to be a difficult side, certainly, away as well, but our own games are really important, and got off to another great start, really. I thought we could have posted more points in that first half. But yeah, like I said, pleased for everybody involved in the club. Effort-wise, was incredible. You know, the amount of times we got under bodies and just kept our feet moving was brilliant. And there were the things that, you know, I thought we were a bit scratchy probably back end of the second half, but we hung in there through our defence. And last week probably we had a 6-minute blip where they went try and cost us ultimately in the end. So we smartened a few things up. Yeah, adapting and every week getting, you know, battle learning to it. You know, you can do all the conditioning you can, but ultimately, you know, we've got like 7 players who've made Super League debuts over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and you know, I keep speaking about the young guys, you know, your Jamie Actons and Sam Hopkins. It's brilliant, the experiences that they're getting. You know, James Green put a decent stint in, and Gaz, we got that experience with him and Harrison, but McCain was a massive influence, I thought, you know, start of the game. And certainly I wanted to try and hold him on, get him to the right period where he could give us some energy and not lose him. I was conscious he'd not done a lot of minutes over the last 2 or 3 weeks. So yeah, like I say, I think across the board, it hit home last week that we've got to get through poor periods better, you know, without having as many points posted within them periods, and keep playing our way out of trouble, you know, just keep challenging them with the ball.
That happened against Saints, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. They really challenged them through the middle and, you know, played a really patient game, to be honest. I mean, they did end up defending for about 20-25 minutes in the second half, which you can't afford to keep doing that, and the penalty count wasn't the greatest in the second half against the Centurions, but they're learning every week, and yeah, who knows, they could bloody a few more teams' noses before the end of the season.
What a game that was between Warrington and Castleford.
Oh, Spectacular, wasn't it?
What a match.
Spectacular. Some great tries scored. Lovely handling.
Yes. Some great defences.
Yeah, yeah. There was times when both sides were shot at, weren't they, to be fair?
And for me, that game, for me, kind of confirmed for me that Daryl Powell's probably the best coach in the country. And he's British.
I'm not going to disagree with you. Shall we hear from him?
Yeah.
Pretty good, wasn't it? It was as good a period of rugby league, or attacking rugby league, that you're likely to see, I thought. You know, it was a superb purple patch for us that got us a lot of points. After a really sticky start to the game, we just couldn't... You know, they were getting the bounce of the ball, they were getting a couple of penalties. We a little bit of game plan stuff didn't work for us. And then we found our straps, and I thought our attacking play was outstanding for that period. And yeah, it put us in a great position. I think that try just before half time just gave them a little bit of a sniff, and then it was an arm wrestle for the start of the second half. But they found a way, as good teams do, of getting back into the game and getting close to us. So I thought it was really good how we managed some of the situations around being under pressure and then being able to finish the job. So it was great. I mean, that period where we were on our try line defensively and we just kept working for each other was a special period, I think, in the game for us.
Certainly was for him, wasn't it? And Castleford starting off well. Who the fourth at two rounds in? Warrington, bottom of the pile.
Long way to go yet, though, Adrian, to be fair.
Yeah, but everyone said that about Leeds last year and look what happened to them.
They did, but I just think that Warrington will soon turn it round, to be fair. But Castleford playing some tremendous stuff at the moment. As you mentioned, very respectful of everything that Daryl Powell has done in his coaching career, because he had to go away, didn't he, to reinvent himself. He got the Leeds job really early in his coaching days. And you know, but basically anything that he's touched since about 2009 has just turned to liquid gold, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's working well for Castleford, isn't it? Anyway, the Challenge Cup, we mentioned Siddell and Toronto and Westhall running Whitehaven close, but who are the rest of the winners? Is it round two?
Round three.
That many rounds? I'm losing where we are.
Yeah, the winners were Barrow, Doncaster, Keighley, Gloucestershire All Golds, London Scholars, Hunslet, Newcastle, Toronto, Oxford, Whitehaven, Haydock, the only representative of the amateur game still left in the competition, and York City Knights.
Fourth round draw was made. It was actually done on a Navy ship?
It was, yes. Down in Portsmouth, I think, wasn't it?
Long way to go for a draw, but there you go.
Yeah. But, you know, spreading the word.
Okay.
Some great ties, by the way.
Championship clubs are in it. Who got who?
Hull Kingston Rovers are at home to Sheffield. Swinton Lions, they host London Scholars. Bradford Bulls at home to Featherston.
What
impossibly
a game that's going
to
be.
One of the pick of the ties, yes, of the round there. Toulouse at home to Batley. Haydock, they've been rewarded with an away trip to Oldham. Gloucestershire All Golds will be hoping to continue their run against Doncaster. Whitehaven host Oxford. Then you have Rochdale Hornets travelling to York City Knights. London Broncos taking on Toronto Wolfpack. That's a real big cup tie there, isn't it? And then in the other ties, Dewsbury Rams at home to Newcastle Thunder. Hunslet have got to travel to Halifax. And Keighley, they're on the road to Barrow.